Welcome to the ALGS edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Alagille syndrome community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking with Chris Peetz, CEO of Mirum Pharmaceuticals, based in Foster City, California. The company already has an FDA-approved therapy to treat Alagille syndrome and has several other therapies in the pipeline for other rare liver diseases. We spoke to Chris at the Liver Meeting in Boston, an annual conference that attracts thousands of hepatologists, researchers, patient advocates, and others annually. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Great, thanks. Excited to talk about Mirum and some of the projects that we're working on.
Well, let's start with Alagille syndrome and LIVMARLI. Can you give us a little background on the drug, how it came to be, and its approval process, and how it's going now?
Yeah, I'm excited to share a little bit about that. So, and starting with Mirum, as a first note, Mirum was founded 5 years ago. We just had our fifth anniversary, so it's an exciting milestone for us. And 5 years ago, we started the company around LIVMARLI and the data that was generated showing the substantial impact it can have in Alagille syndrome.
You took this drug over from another company, right?
That's right, yeah. So we acquired LIVMARLI at the time, known as Merilixivat, from Shire, a larger pharmaceutical company that's now been acquired by Takeda. And you know, this is something that it's not unheard of in rare disease, where it just wasn't a high priority for the larger company. We saw the impact it could have in a rare disease setting and in Alagille syndrome, and we think has promise in others as well, and knew we could launch a company off of that and grow to add other rare disease programs and build a rare disease focused company with the starting point of LIVMARLI and Alagille syndrome.
So what's the patient population in the United States and around the world?
For Alagille syndrome, it impacts in the U.S., we think about 2,000 to 2,500 kids, and it's at a similar rate around the globe. So it's caused by a dominant mutation in the jagged notch signaling pathway, and that it happens regardless of genetic background or population. So you see it quite similar rates around the globe.
So there's no racial, ethnic, or geographic component to it?
That's right. Yeah, none that's been found, and it's caused by several different mutations in the same pathway. So it's not even a single unifying mutation. There are different mutations that lead to the same syndrome that disrupts that signaling cascade for jagged notch is the name of the two proteins that are at play.
So 2,000 kids at any given time, that's extremely rare.
It is, yeah. The impact of the disease, though, is quite substantial. So there's a lot of work to be done despite it being a rare condition.
There's really no cure, as I understand it, except for a liver transplant.
Well, actually, even a liver transplant only addresses one component of Alagille syndrome. Alagille syndrome is a condition that affects multiple systems in the body. We're here at the Liver Meeting, where some of the primary research is done on Alagille syndrome, because the liver component of the disease is very impactful for day-to-day living and can lead to progressive liver damage, a horrible impact on quality of life through severe itching is one of the most common elements of the disease. But it's important to note that there are other elements of the disease with the cardiovascular system, with the kidneys, and other systems as well.
Right.
What we're talking about today is how you can address the cholestasis, the liver component of the disease.
Right. So even a liver transplant doesn't cure the disease. So at this
point,
all you can really do is address the symptoms or the hardest symptoms to live with.
We're focused on addressing the cholestasis, the liver component of it, right? Which one of the first things you can do is measure the change in symptoms. So we measure in our studies, we look at changes in pruritus or itch. Because it is one of the biggest factors in day-to-day life for these patients. And you can actually measure it in a shorter time period versus, for example, measuring time to transplant or something like that, which takes quite some time.
And when you talk about quality of life, you know, if your kid is itching all night, it not only affects your kid, but it affects you as well.
Exactly. And the family stories on what it takes to manage having this condition and what it does for the whole household are just overwhelming, is the simple way to put it. So right. It affects sleep and day-to-day function for the child, for siblings, and for the parents.
Right. So can you just speak a bit about the clinical trials that led to the approval of LIVMARLI?
Yeah, the approval of LIVMARLI is based on a study called the ICONIC study. It was a study conducted in 31 children with Alagille syndrome that had elevated bile acids and moderate to severe pruritus. And in that study, these 31 patients went through a randomized withdrawal. So all patients had the opportunity to take LIVMARLI, and there was a placebo-controlled period where some of them were randomized to placebo, and it looked at the difference in itching during that time period. And you saw a dramatic impact from those that were on LIVMARLI compared to the placebo patients. That study actually then put the patients back all onto LIVMARLI and tracked them for years of follow-up. So now, in addition to that randomized portion, which was the basis for the approval, we now have years of follow-up that we've looked at what's happening in terms of transplant rates over time for those patients as well.
So I imagine that the rates for transplant for those kids would be lower because they don't need the transplant as much. Is that
in,
right?
In some of the post-hoc analysis that we've done, so looking at it compared to data sets of, you know, similar prognosis patients, that is what we see over time. Mm-hmm. So there's been some recent analysis that have been published showing that if you reduce the bile acids, if you reduce the itching, that is associated with avoiding transplant. So lower transplant rates over time. Really interesting paper that's come out recently showing that in a post-hoc analysis, that improving that symptomatic burden does more than just improve itch. Actually, it improves long-term impact.
Interesting. So how long have the longest patients been on LIVMARLI since the beginning?
We are over 8 years for some of those first patients that were in the phase two programs.
And how are they doing?
Well, you know, it's across the board. It's a mix. You know, some in some cases, the liver component of the disease does progress. And so some of those patients have gone to transplant. But there are some that are doing great, right? And so they've actually seen a durable long-term benefit from being on LIVMARLI. And just today, we got to hear some of the stories from some of the parents that are at the meeting, hearing about, you know, their experience from when they first came on the studies so many years ago and how great their kids are doing 8 years on.
Amazing. This is mainly for children, but adults are also affected.
Yes. And actually, that brings me back to another conversation I had just earlier today about an adult who is now seeking treatment for the burden of Alagille syndrome. And, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic where before LIVMARLI was available, patients and families with Alagille syndrome didn't have a treatment option. And so they've, in some cases, normalized what the day-to-day burden is. And now we're seeing, as LIVMARLI is available, we continue to see more patients and families coming to start LIVMARLI and look for a treatment option now that there's one available.
Okay, and now there are apparently two available. In June, the FDA approved the Ipsen drug Bylvay. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, for patients living with this pruritus due to Alagille syndrome. What is the basic difference between these two therapies?
Yeah, they had their approval earlier this year. And you know, overall, it's just great to see more treatment options for a rare condition like Alagille syndrome at these liver meetings. To see the kind of focus and investment in research in these indications is great. Their product is also an ileal bile acid transport inhibitor. That's what LIVMARLI is. So a common mechanism.
So the two are similar.
They're the same mechanism. Yeah. So they're approaching the disease by blocking the absorption of bile acids in the GI tract, which then reduces the systemic circulating bile acid levels.
And yours is an oral liquid, grape flavored liquid, taken about half an hour before breakfast every morning, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it's an oral liquid taken daily, and you know, it's a liquid formulation. In particular, with an eye towards the pediatric setting, where a lot of these kids will be diagnosed and start their therapy.
Right. So now two therapies available for this extremely rare disease where until recently there was nothing.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Do you see any progress? Are there going to be more therapies entering this market? And is there room for more?
We hope so. We hope there will be more. And there certainly is room. I think that's one of the things that we've learned from looking at other rare diseases that have had new medications come, is that it continues to grow over time as you get more investment in research for new therapies for the indication. We are having a big impact with LIVMARLI, but we know there is a whole lot more to do. You know, as we talked about, we're primarily focused on the cholestasis. There are other components to the disease. There's more that can be done. So we hope that over time you'll see more agents come to market for Alagille syndrome.
From what I understand, the annual cost of this of LIVMARLI is close to $400,000 a year, $391,000 according to what we've published. How do parents afford this, and do you have a compassionate use program? From the financial aspect, how this is a huge burden to families. How can they deal with it?
Actually, for the families, we have a very focused effort to make sure that access is affordable. Okay. And is as seamless as possible for families. So almost all families get access through insurance and have a typical small copay that is very similar to any other medication they would have. Mm-hmm. So $8 a month is what the typical price is for on the family side. And we have, in addition to that, a compassionate use program where we help provide access for those that don't have insurance or another route to having it reimbursed.
How much would you say Mirum has invested to date in this particular drug?
Oh, over the course, to really put it in perspective, not only Mirum, but Shire before it, and there was two other companies involved before Shire. It's been hundreds of millions of dollars that have been invested in the development, from the discovery to the manufacture and clinical development of LIVMARLI. Been many years and quite an extensive investment.
Would you talk just a bit before we wrap up about your relationship with patient advocacy groups? You mentioned earlier that you work closely with the Alagille Syndrome Alliance.
Yeah, so the Alagille Syndrome Alliance is a fantastic group that focuses on education and support for families with Alagille Syndrome. They were instrumental at the very beginning of creating Mirum and the development program for LIVMARLI. Mm-hmm. Their input was so instrumental in designing the clinical studies, understanding the pruritus burden, how it was measured, so the actual measurement tool that is used. And they were part of the conversations with regulators to help support getting LIVMARLI approved. All of the work that they're doing is incredibly impactful and a big part of what we're all trying to work on, which is get new treatment options to patients.
What about finding patients for clinical trials?
So they did play a very key part of that during the development phase. And not only finding patients for clinical trials, but also helping just to promote other research on understanding disease burden and helping to find families impacted with Alagille syndrome and bring them into clinical research, bring them into the effort that we're doing in industry to advance new medicines.
Wonderful. Chris, thank you so much for speaking with us. It's been a pleasure. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.